I want to start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you would be with us in this time of worship and praise. And Lord, give me the words to say, to share. Give me the courage to give my testimony. And I pray that you'd open hearts and minds to receive it. Lord, pray for our pastor and his wife and all the people that aren't here today, Lord. We just pray that you'd watch over us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about the sin problem a little bit this morning. The sin problem began in the garden and it carried on generation after generation into the wilderness. And people have had a sin problem. They had it from the beginning of time and we have it today. I'm a product of sin, and I lived a life of sin, and I couldn't get enough of it. I believe that the same sin that was available to man in the beginning is available today, and so we all have a need of a Savior, and I was definitely in need of one. Some reason I lost my marks. I got too many in here. There we go. So I'm going to read out of Psalms 107. I shared at the men's Tuesday morning Bible study here a while back my testimony. It was a little different than what it'll be this morning. I can't really go into depths on some of the stuff that I did then. So I'm going to read out of the book of Psalms, chapter 107, verse 1 through verse 20. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Verse number 20 says, he sent his word and healed them. And delivered them from their destructions. That's my testimony. I can really relate to most of the characters in the Bible and their struggles. I'm not as righteous as Job by any means. He suffered much more than I have, but I can identify with his story. I really identify a lot with David. He was a man after God's own heart, and I can relate to all the Psalms. When I first got to the place where I was really in need of a Savior, for real, broken with a contrite spirit, and I asked for help, God began to put a desire in me to read and study the Word of God, so I did. I dove into the Psalms. And the good thing about the Psalms is they are able to tear you down and lift you up all at the same time, and I really needed that. And I'd studied the Bible a lot, read it a lot, but it didn't make any sense. And when the student's ready, the teacher appears. It's kind of like algebra, I think, you know. You just might not get it now, but it, later, you know, you pick it up. But that's the way it was. Once I'd received God and was really ready to get to know Him, the Word became very clear to me. And I'm not a Bible scholar like Tim Raymer, but I can thumb my way through it. I can't give you all the passages and the verses and all that, but I've read it through a few times and kind of got the gist of it. And that is, I am in need of a Savior, and I'm so thankful for that Savior. And I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about the bad part of my life. Don't feel sorry for me. It took everything it took to get me to this place where I am today, to be able to stand here and give God glory. One day I was working out at Mark's on his house, and he was doing flooring, I think. He asked me, he said, what's your purpose in life? Why was you created? And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, it's to give God glory. And, you know, that stuck with me. That really hit me. And, you know, I really believe that to be true today in my life. And that's what I aim to do today, is give God the glory for what He's done in my life. It says that all are sinners and fall short, and we're all in need of a Savior. So if we live in glass houses, we don't throw rocks, and that's why I'm able to stand up here with pride and keep my chin up this morning as I dive into some of this stuff that's not so desirable. I was a little bit nervous the first service, and I wasn't able to really hit everything I wanted to hit, and I'm going to kind of condense it this morning, you know, this service, and I think this one will be a little better, so. And it's a good thing. I think they're videoing it. So, you know, as a kid, I was born into sin, and my mom, being a single mother, she wasn't real sure about who my father was. So my mom was trying to find a father for me, and she looked for love in all the wrong places, the bars, the party scene. She found an alcoholic. And you go to the bar looking for a man, you'll come home with an alcoholic. That's how that works. So that's what she brought home. And he became my stepdad at age 5, and he was, like I said, an alcoholic, abusive. He beat us. I began to see insanity in my life through that. Him getting drunk, beating my mom, me, her calling the cops, him going to jail. Her going getting him over and over and over for 7 years. I lost all respect for my mom. I had no respect for any adult. And I had no authority or guidance in my life. I began to try and grow up, I guess, real quickly in my own mind and figure out ways to do that. It's called survival. And I began in survival mode probably about that time. My mom had became like an enemy to me. I was very fearful of her choices. I luckily had some grandparents who was Christians, and they rescued me from time to time. Had it not been for them, showing me unconditional love, and that little bit of stability, I probably wouldn't have had a relationship with Christ. It wasn't something that was in my home. I believe it's very important as men that we are to show Christ to our wives and our children, be an example, and I was definitely none of those things, nor did I have those things. But I'm not here to blame anyone this morning, for I'm not a victim anymore. I was for many years, and I chose to medicate and use sin as a way to cover that up. I learned how to deal with life by drinking and partying, lying, manipulate, all that stuff. So at an early age, I was becoming very good at criminal lifestyle and behavior. And I had a problem, like I said, with authority. I was rebellious. I'd you know, if you told me to go left, I wanted to know why I couldn't go right, so I would go just to despise you. That had consequences, lots of them. I got in trouble in school. I was a bully in school. I picked fights with other kids because I was mad at what was going on at home, and I couldn't beat them up. They was bigger than me, so I started lashing out at kids at school, and kept me in trouble. So I became conditioned to go and dealing with trouble kind of early on, and kind of became numb to it. I got moved from one school to another. I started out in Versailles School, done pretty good there other than acting out and getting in a little trouble, moved to Stover. Them kids didn't much care for us Versailles kids, so I had to fight over there. So that very much affected me. I wasn't able to do as well in school as I'd liked. I was in ISS a lot or expelled. I eventually came to a place where I decided that school just wasn't for me, and so I dropped out. I didn't really think that I needed school. I was too smart. Anyway, so then I of course quit school and got a job and started working. I knew there wasn't a rich family member, my parents wasn't around or wasn't going to provide for me. I had to make a way for myself, and the only way to get that was work. So I began to have a good work ethic, but at the same time I had started drinking from the age of probably 9 and started chewing tobacco at the age of 9, snuff. I ended up having a serious drinking problem. I tried to find a solution to all my problems in the bottom of a bottle, and I tried methamphetamines for the first time at age 15. It instantly made me feel good, and I fell in love with it. It became my go-to. Everything depended on me having that and what it could do for me. I traded all my morals and values for that. I began a lifestyle of criminal behavior. I started as a user. I snorted it. Later on in my addiction, I became what you would call a junkie. I shot dope. And not very proud of that. It took me to the depths that just was living hell. And I don't know if you know a lot about drug use, but it's not the most healthy thing that you can do for yourself. It tends to eat holes in your brain. It tends to cause a person that has normally developed and in good health, it destroys them. I used meth for 25 years, heavy, and I not only used it, I sold it, later began making it, and that led me to prison. I got arrested. They charged me with possession with intent to distribute. I got put on probation. I didn't make my probation. I ended up going to prison. For the first time, I did 2.5 years. I had a child previous to this, Cheyenne. She was with me through 5 years of my addiction before I got busted. And I left her mom, and I had good intentions on being a good father. The father I didn't have, I was going to be there for my kids. What I didn't get, I was going to provide. But what I lacked was Jesus. I lacked an example. I didn't know how to be a father. I didn't know the first thing about it. I was just winging it. And like I said, I had a drug problem, and that drug problem overpowered everything. It was my main relationship. It dictated everything in my life. I after using it, became one of two things, either fearful or angry. That's the only way I knew how to deal with life. Any problem I had, I dealt with it with anger or fear. I ran. In the beginning, it was fun. It made me feel good, like I said. Then later on, it was just a way of dealing with life. It was how I functioned. And then later, I couldn't even function. It had completely taken away my ability to deal with anything. It caused me to want to die. Probably would say that I was homicidal and suicidal years into my addiction. I went to prison. Like I said, I did 2.5 years. I'd gotten married to a preacher's daughter prior to going in. We'd had a child a few months old. Some things happened. You know, my wife had cheated on me while I was in prison. That was just another excuse to do the wrong thing when I got out. I ended up getting out of the walls, and I had talked to my wife about birth control and not, you know, creating any more responsibility that I hadn't already been able to step up to the plate and take care of. She agreed. The day I got out of prison, she got pregnant with twins. A month before the twins was born, I had already fell back off. I couldn't deal with it. I didn't know how I was going to deal with it. And meth was the solution, so I really dove in good. My father-in-law was a preacher, and he had married us, and he later divorced us. And I remember leaving my wife for her best friend about a month before the boys was born. It was another way that I could get out of the relationship. I, like I said, it fell back off into my addiction. I knew that that the drugs owned me, and that I wasn't going to be able to step up and take care of these boys. So as a father, I just kind of decided that they'd be better off without me in the home and my lifestyle. So I left, and I used her friend as an opportunity to leave. I developed a conscience, I guess, at some point there, and from time to time that happened. I, like I said, had full intentions on being a good father and being everything I didn't have, and time to time that reality would come back, and I would attempt to try and do the right thing, and I went to treatment. I called my pastor, asked him to come up and pray with me. He said he was busy. He would come as soon as he could. He ended up showing up 3 weeks into my treatment on December 12th, 13 years ago. He began to pray with me. The phone rang. He took the call. It was a lady at our daycare where my boys and daughter had went to daycare. And the lady said that my son Landon was being life-flighted to Columbia University. And so my pastor got off the phone. And we immediately talked to the staff there. They let me go. We headed down 50 Highway to Sedalia here, heading to Columbia. My pastor said, "Kevin, I got to pay my phone bill. I need to stop off here at T-Mobile and pay it." And at first, I kind of felt offended, like, you know, don't you understand what's going on here? And then I instantly felt like that everything was just okay, you know, that I could just... So I said, "Yes, that's fine." And he pulled in. He said, "You want to go in?" I said, "No." I felt the desire to pray. So when he closed the car door, I had already had my eyes closed, my head bowed, and I said, "God, I know that Landon does not belong to me. He belongs to you. You are his father. I'm giving him to you, and I'm asking for your will in his life." And my pastor opened the door, and he said, "Kevin, I just got a call. Your son didn't make it." And everything instantly, I went numb, and it was, I just instantly felt the arms of God wrap around me and hug me. And I had a lot of questions. I didn't, you know, in my mind, I was trying to understand why, make sense of it. My pastor, was honest. He said, "Kevin, I don't know what to say, you know." I appreciated that. He gave me a ride down to my family, and my family was pretty distraught. We went through the process of burying him, and it was pretty tough to do that. Like I said, December 12th, 13 years ago, is when that happened. I'm okay with the decision that I made that day and very thankful for the opportunity that God gave me. I didn't cry in the first service over this. I'm not sure why I am now, but I grieve every year on his death, on the day of his death. I take that day and grieve, and I try to, the other 364 days a year, I try to be joyful and happy that he's with God. So I like to say that at that time I got my life straight, but I didn't. It was just another reason for me to use more and hurt more people. And had gotten, I guess, in trouble again, went back to prison second time, and I got out of there. I went to St. Louis. I joined a ministry, Mission Gate. I was trying to change my surroundings. It worked for a while. I started drinking again, which led back to using drugs, which I started doing cocaine and then back to meth. So, of course, I made it 11 months out of 12. I ended up leaving that program, ran back to treatment. While I was there, I met a man by the name of Roger. I met him at a church. Him and I became pretty close. And he became a great blessing to me, still is today. I left St. Louis, went to treatment again. I got out of treatment this time. I've been to 7 of those, by the way. Treatment's a good place to get education, learn about the drugs and what they do to you, but it really, it's about all it amounts to. And it's a good place to get a few days of not having drugs in your system, which is really important. Because when you have that in your system, it screams more, and you'll do anything to satisfy that need. I did a lot of things I ain't proud of because of it, and I pretty much hurt everybody that came in my path. I destroyed every relationship. I was very faithful to the drug and was not to anyone else. I can honestly say that I was a slave. I was in bondage. I was in chains. I could not get free. I tried many times to pray and ask God to help me, but I wasn't ready. It took everything it took for me to become ready. For some, that's not so great, and for others, it is. I'm that fool, that transgressor, that iniquity had to, I had to suffer. But because of my suffering, I'm able to help others today who struggle. That's what's important. I would like to just kind of, I ended up going back to prison again. I got to a place where I was wanting to die. And I called Roger. I tried to cut my wrist. I ended up going to a mental institution. That's where the drugs takes you. Jails, death, institutions. That's the ends. I feel like I've been to all three. I ended up deciding that I was going to outrun the Clinton Police Department after leaving a drug house. I had drugs on me. And I left out of there. The police quickly came in behind me. I decided I was going to outrun them. So I did. I outran them. And in the process, I put their lives in danger. And because of that, I was caught the next day and charged with assault on law enforcement. I got out and went back to the drugs. I was very hopeless, and I had no hope. I didn't want to live, and I'd made a decision that I wasn't going back to prison again. I was not going to continue this life. It was no good to myself. I was wasting good air, and so I made a decision to end my life again. I had made that decision on this one particular day. I called my friend Roger, and I told him what I was going to do. He asked if he could pray. I said, sure, it won't do any good, but you can pray. So he began to pray, King James Version 2. And I was kind of numb through it. You know, the police showed up at the time, and they came in, and they began to beat me up and told me that I was being arrested for assault on law enforcement. That was pretty eye-opening, I guess. I guess I had it coming, and I was speechless. You know, I had nothing to say. I was just, my spirit, you know, was broken. I had nothing left in me. There was no words to explain how I felt at that moment. Or I just was lost. I was gone. I was dead, and wanted to be. And they took me to jail, and during the time of booking, they asked me if I wanted to hurt myself. I nodded my head yes. They took my clothes, put me in a padded cell for 45 days. I began to come down off the meth. On about the third or fourth day, I remember getting on my hands and knees, and I stuck my hand up in the air crying, and I said, God, help me. Please help me. And at that moment, all those other prayers in the past had meant nothing, because I was not ready for God's help. I was not done doing things my way. And my way got me to a place I wanted to die. So I ended up getting a Bible. And after I got out of there, I got a Bible. I began to read Psalms. And like I said, it really tore me down, it lifted me up, and the Word began to heal me, it began to restore me, it began to work on me, change my heart and my mind, and I really began to identify with the people in the Bible, and they wasn't so good of people either, and God still loved and used them, and so I began to have a whisper of hope through the Word, and it began to heal, and I did that every day. And during that time, Rick Tolliver, Johnny Allen, Phil Fisher, they came in every Friday night and did a ministry there called RPM. I went to that every Friday night, and I tried to get something out of it, and what I heard was three men get up every Friday night and give their testimony about how they'd lived a life of sin similar to mine and how they'd been set free. I really had my doubts about what they was talking about. Mind you, I've been to prison three times. I've been to treatment seven times. My record doesn't seem to say I'm going to get it anytime soon, and so it was just kind of words, but they planted a seed of hope, and I began to wonder if God wouldn't do for me what He did for the men in this Bible and for them. And so I had no place to go. I had no plans, and I'd ruined everything. No one wanted me. Nobody was willing to help me, like the word just said that I read. And they told me that if I'd get out of prison and I would find a church family. And hang out with men that was men of God. And I would never have to live that life again. And it sounded real good. And I just didn't think I could do it. So the Lord pressed upon me to find a way to make it here to Sedalia. And I did. I got paroled here, let out. I came here, and I came immediately to this church. And I came that Monday night to celebrate recovery, and I've been coming here since. I'm a leader there. I'm very humbled because every Monday I get to see guys like me and their struggle, and I get to share what God's done for me with them. I serve that ministry through this church. I'm very faithful and committed to this church and supporting it any way possible. This church has lifted me up. It's gave me everything that I need to live the right way. And it's the men of this church who are being good fathers and husbands and doing the right thing and chasing God, being an example, a light in the dark. And you know, I didn't know how to be a father. I didn't know how to be a husband. I didn't know how to be a church member. I didn't know how to be a leader. And, you know, it's through my pastor getting up here every Sunday, admitting that he struggles, that I'm able to identify with him. And it means a lot to me for his honesty and his willingness to be humble, share his testimony every Sunday when he gets up here. He shares a little bit about his struggle, and it makes me feel good to know that. And I've gotten to know other men in this church and some of the staff, and Tim and Mark. And there's just our Tuesday morning Bible study, you men have just really been a blessing to my life. I don't fit in with that group. They're a bunch of good men, and they've accepted me in and loved me, and they've proven to me that they're there. Like I said, didn't have a father. Today I have one. God is my father. Like the song said, he is the father of the fatherless. And I also have been blessed with a spiritual father. Rick has stepped up to the plate. Him and Arlene, they are my spiritual parents. They have my back, and I'm so thankful for them and what they've done. I have no doubt that God sent Rick to prison to bring me that hope that I need. I'm no longer a dope dealer, I'm a hope dealer. And I'm very blessed to have this church. It's through this church that I've been able to establish my new life, living the right way. It has supplied me with a business. It keeps it going. I have been given a new family. I have been so blessed. I can't even begin to describe the blessings that I've received from you who are faithful in your walk and in your faith with Christ. I'm so thankful for the discipleship that I've received, the mentorship, the help, the love, and the support. I'm able to go give that back to other people today. I'm not just a taker, I'm a giver. You guys have given to me, I'm able to give to others. And so I try to do that doesn't work out all the time. I've had to suffer some of the repercussions of being the victim, you know, of what the addict and the criminal behavior causes. And now I have a new light. I've learned some lessons. I've had to suffer a little loss myself, and very well. To the kids out there, I'd just like to say that drugs and alcohol is not the solution to any problem that you have. It will not help it. It will not make it better. It will only make it worse. If you have any hopes and dreams, it will take those away. For the parents and the people, I'd just like to say we all know someone, have someone in our family who struggles with addiction or alcoholism or criminal behavior. There's people we know. Continue to be that light, to love them and pray for them, and be there for them when they need you. I have that today, and it's what gives me stability. And I'm so thankful for this opportunity to share my testimony. And God gets all the glory for everything in my life today. Everything I have, the air in my lungs, belongs to Him. And I'm thankful for that. My wife, my kids, relationships, my church, my family, my testimony, it's His. And I can't take any of the credit for it. I get up every day and I surrender my life and my will over to Him. I don't base my salvation or my today on a decision that I made at an altar some time ago or in that jail cell. Every day I get on my knees just like I did that day and I say, God, help me. I have to do that every single day. If I don't do that, I'll go back to that old life. I have to have a defense, and I have the defense today. It's right here, and it's up to me to use it and apply it to my life. This book is not just a book of information. It will not only inform you, but it will transform you. It healed me. It brought me back to a place that I was able to live life again and enjoy it. I just thank you for your love and support, and that's all I really have. I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for each person here. And Lord, I just ask that you would touch them, Lord, that your spirit would overwhelm them would draw them close to you, Lord, that you would allow my testimony, Lord, to speak to them and that they would receive it as a gift as I have. And Lord, we just thank you for your word and your love and this church and our pastor and his family and the staff and the ministries and the wonderful men and women who are examples for us, who love and support us. And Lord, we just pray that you give us the heart to go out and minister to others, to give them what's been freely given to us. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for a Savior, God. And just pray, Lord, that you would watch over those who are out in this cold, Lord, and keep us safe. Bring us back next week, and we give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.